All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, we are in the last remaining Planet Hollywood.
Ooh. Ooh,
Yeah.
baby.
It shares a space at the it shares a space with the Margaritaville at this Branson Casino and Resort.
Okay.
But yeah, no, just when nighttime comes around, which I mean from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., they wheel out all the memorabilia, and I have dominated the space because there's one particular Hollywood Tinseltown artifact that we desperately need to use for this randomization.
Is it the table that's made out of Sylvester Stallone's frozen body from Demolition Man?
No, it is
That's
not.
a real Planet Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
Which is
I've never seen it, but I want to.
it's a disc with a frozen dummy of Sylvester Stallone nude in it.
Want it.
So if I were a giant, I would use that as a novelty ice cube. You know, like those like plastic ice cubes with the fly in it.
Oh, this drink is
You just like
ruined.
this got I'm in here. Do not drink me. Hey, boo
I'm very happy you recognized immediately how Yogi you sounded.
I'm with Sylvester Stallone. Boo boo. I
It's
like to eat a
impeccable.
picnic basket. Give me the whole handle. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Roughage, boo boo. I'm Sylvester Stallone.
Let me cut this slice of pizza with a pair of scissors because this is Cobra and I'm a big fucking weirdo.
I don't know how to use the seashells, boo boo. So it's not that.
No, it's not
Oh,
that. It is
bummer.
big though. It is the Loom of Fate from the Wanted movies. Yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So I've just kind of like let it run overnight. So we're gonna go up here to the output. I forget how this worked.
Oh yeah, we have to get our throw rug of fate.
Yes. Yeah. So let's go up here and get it. Use the decoder here. All it says is that cat wants to fuck.
That's in our future, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, it's telling us to kill it. So we must
Oh.
end Bubsy's life because the Woolies have
Okay.
struck back.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a custom bespoke artisanal neuter. So I guess I'm gonna do it with my hands.
Small batch.
I'm gonna do a small batch craft brew neuter on his front here with a pair of tiny screwdrivers and just tie his whole tube. Goodbye, tube.
Bubsy,
Yeah,
look me in the face.
you've been Bubs.
I am going to ruin your tube.
That's like the opposite of anesthesia. If you have to just make eye contact with the surgeon or whatever, like there's anesthesia which you can't feel it and you're out of it. But what if you just have to like stare at them and not blink while they do
Yeah,
it?
so stare at them and not blink, and then as you're passing out from shock, they just kind of keep on slapping you in the face, like, don't you goddamn
Yeah.
dare go away.
Yeah, don't. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you doing surgery on yourself? Why are you neutering yourself, Bubsy? Why are you neutering yourself? I don't know. It's a living.
What could possibly go wrong?
Why do you keep doing this to yourself, Bubsy? I don't know. Childhood trauma. Anywho, I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah, why are you doing this to us, Sam? Sam?
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, why are you doing this to us?
Not too surprised this showed up on the list.
No,
Bubsy's a classic.
it had to be. It had to be. And you know, we still have a little bit of that recent release heat on this bad boy. No,
Sure.
this is a random selection. It was submitted initially by our friend Sam Bear, who says, I've sent in way too many weird but okay games. Have some hot garbage.
Yeah, I would say this is probably like, okay, this is. As far as Bubsy media that I've played,
Yeah.
this is pretty playable.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's not good, but it's like, oh, this is a platformer. Like I did some platforming,
Yep.
you know?
You know, I didn't feel like I was moving too fast for the camera, which was my problem with the previous Bubsy games we have played.
Yeah. You know, and it doesn't, it's not like super difficult to control like the 3D ones. Like, this is kind of a functional video game.
Yeah.
And that was surprising to me.
But this is the thinnest, runniest gruel of a video game. It's a platformer without a hook that has no reason to exist besides what I'm going to call Schrodinger's nostalgia, which is, you know, if you're observing it, you can either see that it is ironic or genuine, but it can't be both at the same time. It's either one or the other. Like the only reason that this exists just rapidly oscillates between those two.
Very specifically, one of my favorite message board posts we've seen is in the Game Facts, where K Projects did a post that says the meme is real and it is our fault. And I think that's about like what you need to know about this game. Like, you know, all these ironic all this ironic appreciation makes actual dollars.
Yeah.
And gets people to actually make things, you know.
No, they're definitely rolling up like a new Shrek or B movie thing. Like,
oh,
you bastards understand that things have consequences, right?
Yeah.
Your actions have consequences, internet.
You can't just make a, you know, this whole thing is an incredibly sad project. Yes. But real quick, I played the Shrek pinball game. Oh. I went to a nickel arcade recently.
Okay.
It plays All-Star.
What?
When you do it with Shrek sound, like, it tells you voices, you know, like you get you miss the ball and the donkey's like, that's no good, Shrek, you know, while All-Star is playing. Like, it is a very meme-y experience.
Does it just play All-Star the whole time?
No, it kind of plays the first verse and chorus.
Okay.
And then kind of stopped. And then there was eerie silence for a long time. And then Prince Charming yelled at me. So here's, when I was talking about this being sad, listen, here's some Wikipedia said it worst. In the development section, the game announcement was generally not well received by video game journalists, whose reactions range from indifference to irritation. Accolade seemed to expect this, taking an approach similar to Sega with promoting its Sonic the Hedgehog on social media by making a dedicated Twitter account for the character that makes self-deprecating and aware comments about the franchise's negative receptions. That's sad to me.
Yeah, you're not gonna hit somebody who's already just rub their face around in the mud. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too pathetic for you to legitimately criticize.
You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you?
Right.
You know, like, just them, that being part of the plan even before the game came out,
mm-hmm.
is extremely depressing to me.
Yeah.
And I find that Sonic Twitter account kind of depressing too.
A little bit,
I know people love it, but I find social media being funny, or like brands being funny on Twitter, mm-hmm. like almost as bad as them just not.
Yeah. I mean, it's some hit or miss for me. Like, sometimes I see when, like, okay, that's fine. But especially when, you know, they're trying to, I don't know, hit a specific market that I know is only ever going to, like, laugh at them, not with them.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. It does extend beyond just the, oh, I hate marketing kind of malaise.
It's more insidious.
Yeah.
You know, as a thing. And it's also like, you know, and people, you know, I don't think anyone's actually really complained about it, like the same way they have when we talked about sports. But like, one of the things that we don't understand that we talk about with some frequency is memes in general, right. Which, you know, I understand isn't a great look, but even people who get them more than I do, mm-hmm. can probably surely agree that them as a marketing tool for Accolade is not good.
Right.
You know, like, even if you're generally into memes, like, I like them less when they are being used to sell something.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It just, it feels counter. It feels counter to the thing. Like, those, the images of the, like, American Chopper guys throwing the chair or whatever,
yeah.
like, just when it kind of came out, or people put together, they're like, oh, this was put out like, what, a couple of months before the reboot of that series. Well, that was obviously like astroturfed. Like, no, fuck you. That's terrible. And you just know that there are a bunch of people who are 10 years younger than us who are hired at these companies to try and get them this heat. I've worked with some of them. Like,
yeah, I think that sucks.
Yeah.
Just as a thing, like, just, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Stop. You know, and it does, like, it reminds me of just kind of a general distaste for, you know, certain flavors of meminess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, I will go to town on certain memes, you know, like, I will eat them like I'm a starving man. But there also is just, there is kind of just a general, like, it's memey, so it's good.
Yeah.
Kind of mentality. that certain people have that I think is dumb and shitty.
Yeah.
Like, exceedingly so.
There was an image that I saw, just I follow the meme thread and something awful, like, you know, kids are graduating high school now. You know, it's May when we're recording this. And somebody had posted, like, you know, this two page spread or whatever that went along with, like, the senior class superlatives, and was like, our favorite memes as a class. You know, with quotes from somebody. Don't awe just yet, because most of them were pretty bad. And one of them was specifically Ugandan Knuckles. And the person said, I like this meme because it gets people all flustered and triggered. And it's like,
How about go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
in an extreme way. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's an ironic awe, even in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was not going to be that was not going to touch my heart. Kids having favorite memes.
No,
but it is just like, it divorces anything from like a context, and it is such cheap shielding of reality through irony, you know, as a thing. Like, so the expression where it's like, you know, I've seen somebody do this to somebody else, where somebody was talking about, you know, something kind of real, on social media, you know, like something about, like, you know, their hopes and kind of vulnerable. And somebody just responded, it was like, just literally, like, you know, less dreams, more memes, you know? And I was just like, there's just such a naked, like, I don't want to actually engage with a feeling anything. This is the way that I can interact with the world, is through this weird irony shield.
Well, also, it's not, I don't want to engage with this, so I'm going to step away from Twitter or just scroll past this. No, I need to chime in.
Yeah, like, I need to try to make this person feel dumb or shitty about just not playing this weird, like, incredibly fast moving abstract game that we are all playing.
Yeah,
you know, and then, like, they're just like, I'm not one of those people who doesn't like, I will see a meme fairly quickly, and then just like, my brain will categorize it in a meme, like, same way, you know, cosplay, if I don't recognize, I'm like, oh, that's from League of Legends. Like, yeah, oh, that's from Overwatch. You know, I know that it's probably something like that.
From something incredibly popular that you're not part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah. I'm not part of that scene. So yeah, like, can usually like recognize them, but it's, we're operating in such a weird compressed time thing where they will get run into the ground over the space of like 2 days.
Yeah.
Something can be that kind of brief candle and still just like create a big fucking gross mess. Like, I'm so sick of the guy who doesn't know that he saw a butterfly.
Yep. Tired of that one.
I am so sick of that.
Well, that specifically got like grabbed on by like dirtbag left Twitter shit. So like immediately it became like just a really like bleh, awful brand of politics that I just can't get on board with.
So, lots of them are political, and a lot of them aren't even like, I've seen ones that don't even, that miss the point of the thing.
Right, right.
Like, they'll put two things, they'll label the butterfly and the caption as things that can't be mistaken for each other.
Right.
And it's like, that's, you know, the idea is he's really off base and he made a mistake, you know, one flying thing for another. Yeah. But if you put two things that are totally unrelated there, like, it doesn't actually work.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I don't know, but it doesn't matter, because it's just like, meme, just scoot on by, you know, like, it doesn't, it's not a thing.
Meme, thwip.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meme, thwip.
Yeah. I don't know if I told the story, and I don't know the ending of it, but I was, you know, I was over at my brother's house. He installed a new kitchen. I was like, oh, I'm going to go see your new kitchen. You made a good choice with these cabinets, man. No handles on there yet. You think what kind of handles are you thinking of putting on here?
Just
a real dad and uncle style shit, you know? Right. Yeah. Like, whoa, this is a good faucet. What kind of financing deal did you get on this? I'm serious. Like, it decided to get a gas range, huh? You moved it over. Did you have to? Well, no, the oven was gas, so the line was right there. Oh, that's easy. That saves you some time. Like, just a bunch of real, like, boring ass shit.
Yeah. There's nobody in the world more boring than homeowners. Like, it's more boring to me than people who have kids, because at least then there's some consequence. You know, it's a life.
Right.
But homeowners talking about their houses, like,
yeah.
Man, that's please continue your story. But well, no, boy, is that.
But like, I specifically went over there because I am not bored by that. In fact, I am fascinated by it, and I wanted to see the decisions that he made.
incredible unit.
Yeah. Just in awe. In awe, just, I say.
In awe of this.
In awe of this gas range. No, I went over there, and my niece, who we talk about sometimes on the show, it was like a school spirit week or whatever. And, you know, like every day it was like, oh, wear the school colors day, or, you know, come dress like it's the 90s day or whatever. And like the one of the first days she like that she had to get ready for was like, come dressed as your favorite meme.
So
that's a thing too, like, hey, come dress as your favorite meme. And I have no idea how that would manifest. I told her to dress like a steamed ham and she didn't understand what that meant. Because I'm, you know, old, I guess.
But it's not old. Like, it was like, that was just, you know, that was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
that was such a huge thing. I mean, but by the scale of this again, this weird meta.
Yeah,
this meta,
like it's the fucking Smash Brothers.
Yeah, Final Destination No Harambe is like, just like it is. Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know what name she decided to go as, but
yeah, it probably ones that you know are gone by now, mm-hmm. like a cloud in the morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing. There is reason for Bubsy the Wooly Strike Back to exist.
It is what happens when you get like a commercial product, like something with an actual, like, you know, a barcode and everything that comes just from an ironic appreciation of something bad.
Yeah.
You know, and like there are, it's not that there aren't people who like Bubsy, because of course there are people who like Bubsy, but like those are not good games. They're exceedingly bad. And he's a terrible character.
Right.
And they brought him back.
Yeah.
And he still sucks.
He still sucks. And like
wouldn't it be LOL if we brought back Bubsy? Like, it's actually not. There's no LOL to it. It's not funny. It's not really like, I said it's a functional platformer, but it's somehow worse than like the old ones, because it is just that.
Yeah, it is literally just a platformer. You're collecting balls of yarn. It doesn't even have like the attractive like animation of the previous one. Like, everything is just kind of this, I don't know what engine this is in, but like this Havoc physics kind of just super glossy drip.
Yeah,
is what it is. Like,
yeah,
he Bubsy occasionally like spouts something, but it's like, whoa, this is wacky and I'm Bubsy. Well,
it's occasional. That was a big early access, people complained about it, how much he talked. So it's a slider in the audio menu.
Okay.
He has a slider called verbosity. And the 100% is at that level is called Bubsy. And then you can also, make him, you know, absolutely quiet, so he doesn't say anything. And so if I, of course, turned up to 100%, because I wanted the release experience of him saying, you know, so if you put me in a room and you said like, Gary, come up with as many quotes or quips as you can for a character, like a cat, if he starts flying. And it'd be like, if I did that and spent my 8-hour day, and at the end of the day, I wrote down like, you know, flying, I don't know how I do it, and then just left and then quit, you know, but they still had to use the work. Yeah. There's just like one or two things he says for when he flies, like one or two things he says when he pounces.
Yeah.
It is a dearth of things. And like, they were definitely written. It's an amazing thing that somebody called it a day.
Yeah.
Like, just like, you know, oh, this is all we need.
Yeah. Well, let's go check the writer's room. Oh wait, where'd they go? Huh? Why,
yeah,
is that, why is that poster rattling in the wind? There's a hole chiseled out behind it. Damn you!
There's an outline of a senior Fresco. What is his name?
I don't know.
The Kool-Aid man from Tiny Puppets.
Oh yeah.
Duca Fresco. Yes.
Hugo, yeah. Fresco.
Yeah, there's just like the outline of him in the wall, and it's like, well, they left. It's just like that. This whole game should just be called like writers took a long lunch, you know, just every single day. Like, it's a, you know, starting at 2-hour lunches, then eventually like 4 or 5-hour lunches, then working from home, and then just yeah. It's not funny. There's no funny to be had. There's nothing to smile about. There's nothing kind of cute.
Yeah,
you know, he's just bad.
Yeah, and it's not like it even seemed like it tried to be funny. Like, that's the thing that sucks about the Genesis ones or the SNES ones.
Yeah.
They obviously really, really tried. Like, here, it's not even like that. I would not have liked the result of them trying, but you know, at least you give nods to the effort.
Some people do think that it's funny. There's like one of the message board posts is just a bunch of people quoting the different Bubsy quotes. Like someone just said, what could possibly go wrong, which is his catchphrase.
Right.
And then a bunch of people do the things that, you know, like, did I mention I don't like heights? You know, is there a doctor in the house? These classic Bubsy quotes.
Yeah.
That everyone loves and knows. That, you know, so these people obviously like them. Like, I think that nobody thinks this is funny, but then Bribo Baggins, you know, on GameStack apparently mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then you also get, at least on the PlayStation 4 board here, people being just like weirdly defensive about it in an aggro way.
Yeah.
Bubsy hate.
That's the board I'm on too, but yeah, it's, you know.
Vivox. So all this Bubsy hate, not just this game, but the whole series, real or imagined. I don't remember all the hate for the games when I was a kid. Always remember them being considered mediocre, but not unholy pieces of garbage like they are now. Side note, looking forward to the physical copy I got cheap soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People get defensive about Bubsy.
Yeah.
And I get like it's still fine. Like if people like legitimately dig Bubsy, it's mm-hmm. still fine for you to like Bubsy. You know, it's just weird having this chip on your shoulder about like kind of anything that is just kind of widely considered to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then having a weird chip on your shoulder about it.
Yeah.
You know, is not the right look for it. Like you can be like, oh, this is actually underrated, or, oh, you know, I thought that was good. Here's why.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me. But being frustrated that other people don't like it, I think, is a losing game.
Yeah. I mean, that is you kind of signing yourself up for an all you can eat anger buffet. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
are you just going to wait until people like Bubsy?
Yeah.
You know, before you, you'll lose the fight, you'll give up the fight. It's the same thing when like something. So I'm playing God of War.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was the initial hype cycle. And then now we are firmly in the backlash against
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of frustrating and exhausting to be through that while I'm still playing it.
I'm so weird.
You know, so it is a big motivation to finish it.
Yeah.
But the people who are mad at the backlash, like, it's kind of a similar problem where it's like, you know, if you make it a win condition for yourself for those people to admit that it's actually good.
No.
You never make that your conditional for relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, is that people actually realize something is good or bad. You know, same kind of thing. Like it would go for people who are very frustrated that people like it.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I think that just in general, a journey for me has been giving up any expectation that I can change a stranger's mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, yep. And it's, I understand like just being like feeling like the last sane person.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes something like that, like something kind of comes out and you're just like, I have a totally different opinion,
yeah.
You know, and then like express it, but just don't make it. It's not really worth getting angry about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not worth being, you know, confrontational about. It's like, okay, well, it's time for me to lock us both into this phone booth and we're going to work this out.
We're going to settle this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not one of us is leaving until,
yeah.
You know, until you admit that Bubsy, until people admit that Bubsy actually wasn't so bad.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, I played the games. Like, I think they're pretty bad. You know, I'm not, you know, just it makes me feel like the people are assuming that other people are basing their opinion, you know, under false pretenses, essentially. Yeah. Like their opinion is not considered.
Yeah.
The same way your pro Bubsy opinion is, you know, so. And again, express that opinion, but it's just kind of weird to make it a something that you get that worked up about.
Yeah,
I think. In closing, stop getting worked up about video games. Yeah, like it's probably not worth it.
Yep. Man, I wanted this to have some kind of hook to it, though. Like, I didn't expect it to be like as
quite as boring as it is.
Yeah, yeah, like
it's extremely Asset Factory. It's very boring.
Yeah.
Like the collectibles, the coins you get, the yarn.
Mm-hmm.
Each level has like 600 of them or something like that. It's unreasonable. And then you collect keys, which I thought you had to collect to beat the level. You just get them to get more yarns.
Yeah, you get into like a room where there's just a yarn party happening.
Big yarnparty.com.
Yeah.
And not just the one that's all the old men tying yarn around their dicks. the famous JPEG from a couple of years ago.
From a couple decades ago?
Yeah. Well, Yarn Party came after Piss Party.
Okay.
So.
But yeah, you're getting a bunch of that. I expected there to be a little bit more done with the different kinds of platforms. Like, oh, these mm-hmm. ones go up, these ones go down. Like that seemed like it could have been interesting, but like in the five stages that I played, it just kind of ended up being nothing. And
yeah.
It could be, you know, the reasonable response to that is like, oh, it's like a Mario game. It doesn't actually get hard until you get to the end, and then you get the real stuff, right? But it just I just kept imagining a very thin porridge.
Yeah. I was trying to find, like, I got so bored with this just through engaging with the basics of it.
Yeah.
Like, I expected there to be more platforms or, like, almost literally anything.
Yeah.
That there is. But you have your very basic Bubsy moveset, and then that's really it. Like, and then you just kind of go through platforms, and they're not that interesting. The enemies you fight are not that interesting. Everything you fight looks like a cell phone mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all look like the Obla Diabla Da aliens.
Yeah.
And it just nothing happens or changes. And the whole game, looked up online, like reading about it, is about 2 hours long.
That was one of the big complaints about the game, was that it was, it came out at $30. Fortunately, we got it on a sale. But that it was incredibly short. 3 hours is actually longer than I've heard it quoted as. I've heard it quoted as like a 45-minute game.
Well, I said two hours, but still like, and that was the person who I saw was a completionist.
Mm.
You know, so it was like somebody who like is a Bubsy fan. So,
yeah. Like, and as I cannot see going back in and engaging with these kind of too long levels.
No,
trying to 100% it. That just doesn't tickle my fancy at all.
Yeah, I don't. Even if I didn't, didn't hate it, I didn't leave this wanting more.
Yeah.
And we don't try to, I try not to truck in general in like a dollar to value ratio.
Right.
This is like, 20 or like $30 when it came out. I think it dropped to 20.
Yeah. It was the 30 when it came out. It's 20 regularly. We got it on sale at Humble for 10.
So 30 is like, just imagine. Like,
yeah.
Even if you are a big Bubsy fan, like, mm-hmm. yes, this is probably the best Bubsy game, but just like spending $30 for, a mere at most 2 hours of Bubsying.
Yeah. This may be, I think maybe splitting hairs here. This is the best Bubsy game, but like, is that a metric for success? Because wouldn't people want the most Bubsy game if they're bringing it back? Like, would this actually make somebody who was crazy hard for Bubsy 2, like, would this satisfy them?
So the person who I saw, who's a YouTuber who I watch from time to time, called Cygnus Destroyer,
mm-hmm.
Who is not like not an unqualified recommendation, like seems like a perfectly nice guy and does some good work and stuff, but he's not god tier as far as YouTube people who I watch or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I get hard up for YouTube sometimes. He is a fan of them and likes this game a lot.
Okay.
So he did not want it to be bad in a Bubsy way. When you say making it the most Bubsy game, he was happy with this thing that could have been really anything. Like, you could put any character in this, and it would not be particularly different or changed.
Yeah.
But he was happy with the best possible Bubsy game. I would have liked something that was just absolute trash, like significantly more than this.
Yeah. Like, I want something that's an anti-game, basically. Yeah. Like, give me Bubsy 3D, like the sensibility of the James Turrell one, but mm-hmm. in a side-scrolling platformer. Like,
oh yeah,
like, just okay. Well, you asked for it. You willed this thing into existence. We trained a neural net on the entire output of Bubsy-related content, and here is not just the game you've asked for, but the game you've deserved.
Yeah. the shitty thing about this show, this show has gone on for a long time, so we've now done two Bubsy games,
mm-hmm.
which means we can't fall back into the comforting arms of Bubsy 3D Visits the James Turrell retrospective.
No, that,
like,
is
not only have we talked about that, but there's a Check It Out Comrade about it. Like,
yeah,
the network has covered that about what it can be covered.
Yeah, that candle's burnt, and it's not very long anyway. So
yeah, it's a great candle. It's one of my favorite candles.
Yep.
But it's short and burnt.
Yeah. You ever go through candle phases?
I'm in a candle phase now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've got a big soy candle that's gonna get like a nice rustic vanilla scent that I'm working through.
Mm.
Yeah,
I am. It corresponds or tends to correspond when I get back into dating.
Okay,
so like, I was dating my ex girlfriend, who I dated from like September through January, So since then I've been dating again, so I'm back into candles. That's a comorbidity with me, being into ladies and being into candles.
Right.
But I also like, candles are, for what they are, I think it's one of the worst value propositions. Like, they're so expensive.
Yeah.
It's like $23.
What, like, the fuck?
Are you absolutely out of your mind?
For one of these? That's not like when this one burns down for that $23, like, it's not like a lifetime contract where somebody comes and brings me a new one.
I don't get a refill. Like, you know, I don't buy melted wax to re-up this.
Yeah.
So I tend to buy seasonal candles after the season.
Okay.
And stock up, because it's not like after Christmas I no longer like the scent of pine trees.
Right.
It's still smell. Like, smells don't go out of fashion. You know? Smell is eternal. So yeah. And heaven and smeven is eternal as well. So that's why you have to make your choice, Dean. Between smeven and smell.
Yeah, that's what they said at the smell house. It's just a bunch of like little plays and vignettes about people misusing candles. Like, and he fell asleep with the candle still burning.
I tend to do a lot of that, and then other than that, I tend to go for I like things that are abstract, like, just kind of coincidentally, like, I can't, if a candle's called like rain,
okay,
I'm there, right? It's like, this isn't like, doesn't smell like water that's moving, but it's still you know, this is a nice scent.
Yeah, I like anything that is not fruit scented is my thing. If something is very much like meant to smell like food, it just makes me sick to my stomach.
Like, yeah, you just get like a stroganoff.
Bull.
You know, just like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just again, I talk about Liartown a lot, but some of my favorite are the fake Yankee candle scents, like one that's like a stroke and it smells like burnt toast.
No,
and then Yankee Candle Store, where just a bunch of them melted together. No, I tend to go for quantity over quality. I get a bunch of small ones so I can disperse them throughout the house.
Well, and it just like it looks, even if I'm not, it's not because I have a lady over, like, I like just like having a candle night where, like, I just light a bunch of candles and my house just seems kind of cooler.
Yeah
Everything smells nice and stuff. I can get into that kind of like treat myself.
Yeah.
Like, you ever take a bath with a candle?
Who are you talking to? No, I've taken a shower with a candle.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell which direction that was.
No, I can't. I can't remember, like, the last time I took a bath.
The candle, it really transforms the experience. It's like incredibly solo romantic.
I don't know if I could do that without fingering myself. So.
Well, yeah, but what's your point?
Like, just, hey, it all goes down the drain, baby.
It all comes out the same color in the end, my friend. I had a real long masturbating in the tub phase. I'm not proud of it, but as a kid, like, you know, sometimes private time was hard to come by, and I had to hit my quota. otherwise I'd fill up like that blueberry girl from Willy Wonka and just be like a big white grape rolling down the street, you know. filled with creamer.
Yeah, you don't want to get a backup of product. Never in the tub, because I didn't want to coexist. I didn't want it to float into me, honestly.
Yeah, it's not good.
I think maybe I tried it like once or twice, and then I realized logistically this isn't for me. And like, it's not like, some cum touch me, I'm gonna die, this is bad. It's just I'd rather not drain the tub and then bring up fresh water so I could wash the cum off me.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing where even when it's desirable filth, it's filth.
Yeah.
You know, it's still like, you don't want to just like hang around in it.
Right.
You know, if you do, great.
For you and me personally, as of the telling of the story,
not my favorite thing.
But
I'm glad I got out of that phase. But I've just taken a bath with just a candle before, and no self-romanticism, and it's very pleasant. Like, it feels very pleasant. Like, if anyone's ever going to break into my house and kill me, that's where I want to be.
Oh yeah
you know, like present a lifestyle for the murderer that, you know, like dress for the murderer you want to be murdered by, not the murderer you're going to get murdered by. You know?
So you want to be like strangled by some kind of like silk stole.
Yeah. I'm looking for like a steel and lace kind of situation.
Yeah. Well, no, I try and live my life in such a way that I would present whatever assailant is coming after me with, you know, the target that I would at least want them to kill me, you know, like you're at least make them want to kill me. There we go. So like, okay. if I'm living too sad, they're going to say, okay, well, obviously I'm doing him a favor. So boom, sure. Down he goes. But if I'm living too well, like if I'm straight up,
then they want to take you down a peg.
Yeah. But you know, if I'm laying there in like rose petal water, just surrounded by a Castlevania's worth of candles, they're going to say, well, this guy's lived a full enough life. Where does he get off having all these nice things? I'm just gonna, you know, two tap him in the head and then be on my way. You know, take his audio equipment.
That's for the terrible life I had to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so it's like, how is this fair? And go ahead.
It's more like that when I think about wanting to be found in that way, it's more for just kind of posterity. It's the same way, like if you're choosing a way method of death, like death by misadventure is nice.
Okay.
You know, even though you're not there for it, you know, just like Gary, you know, Butterfield, aged, I don't know, maybe 42, was found, you know, floating in a romantic bathtub with several burned down candles, you know, in his spacious tub in his spacious house that had a tub.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of obituary I'd like to have.
Yeah.
You know? And as far as like obviously not getting murdered is top of the pops. Like if you can pull that off, you're killing it.
Yeah. I think that's how you place on the high scoreboard, is by not being murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I do like the idea of my death not being wasted and getting justice off the back of it.
Yeah. Like yeah, maybe yeah. Like, you know, somebody comes
basically
in
I
want to
be a job creator in death.
trickle down. Death economics.
Yeah.
I could do that too if I had my romantic tub situation, and then like the silk stockings guy came in, and then maybe like as he's, you know, climbing into the bathtub to menace me.
Okay.
I take an unforeseen toaster from nearby or hair dryer. Oh,
you take him down with you.
Yeah. Okay. And then the two of us just like live out the rest of our short lives in electric bliss in my romantic fuck tub.
See, the thing is, for the both of you, like, you know, like it's going to pass in an instant, but for the two of you, it'll be an eternity. So, I'm not going to specify a time, but let's say sometime in the past decade, I've gotten it in my mind to crank it in a shower.
Like American.
Yeah. Like, this is the highlight of my day. I don't think I'd done it before or something. Like something led me to believe, hey, this might be a good idea, as opposed to my usual config, which is
excuse me. Oh, okay, that was supposed to be white noise.
Yeah,
just so you know, Cole, I don't know that had the effect that you wanted it to, because I was imagining you doing something with your hands while making that noise with your mouth. So like your usual config being like that would make that sound. So it sounded like you would like maybe stuck the tip of like a steam milk dispenser from a cappuccino machine or something. Like it didn't sound
okay.
Like a beep. So
Should I have gone beep?
Yeah, a beep would have, I think, maybe expressed it more clearly. And not, like,
a beep is less like the sound a body would make.
Yes. You know, or a machinery that you might use in utilization for your regular method.
Yeah. So
tell us more about your regular method, though.
No, that's why I put white noise there.
Okay.
You're not going to trick me into doing that. I didn't take into account how hard my knees would buckle.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Fortunately, this was in an apartment where I had a grab rail in my shower.
Okay.
Because there was an elderly tenant there beforehand, so I was able to catch myself.
That's great.
And that's how a grab bar in my shower saved my life.
Yeah. that's death by misadventure, but not like good misadventure.
No.
Like cranking in the shower and falling and hitting your head.
Yeah.
You know, that's no good.
Yep.
Oh. The as somebody who's been in a band on tour, like I got very adept at masturbating standing up, because you know, being in a shitty van, you know, in the prime of your sexual life, and not doing anything, because you know, we weren't the kind of band that got laid, and I wasn't the kind of person who like went out and had sex with strangers. So it was a lot of like jerking off in Starbucks bathrooms. So got real into that. And they don't have those handles, but luckily I just like fell. I just figured it'd be okay. Like it's just
all of your joints unhinged, and you just
take a little nap. You know, like somebody dropped a marionette.
Yep.
You know, and that's just
cut your strings, son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
The Le Petit Mort.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah, sacre bleu. Oh wow. My stars and garters. those are good ways to get murdered, or good methods to be murdered. What did you have something in mind when you said you tried to present something that's not so pathetic as to be murdered? I think that you just living your life doesn't mean that someone's not going to murder you. It's just a different kind of murderer.
I guess what I'm saying is like just me living my life it makes me feel a little bit more secure again that I'm avoiding either, oh, he's so sad, so I'm going to be doing him a favor, or, well, look at this guy riding high on his horse. That was literally just the joke, I guess, I was going for.
I mean, I got that part. I was just wondering if there's something specific, you know, because like the middle brow murderer could strike, you know, like
Gary, if the middle brow murderer was going to be active in any metro area around the country, do you think he? Do you think he'd be in Cincinnati? He would
the
be
middle
in, the middle the yeah, middle yeah. brow murderer. He would like Cincinnati would be his sole domain.
Yeah, yeah.
Just killing unremarkable people.
just keeping it in a nice like B minus of a city. Yeah. You know, the I don't know if they have any more to say about the bubs.
Neither do I.
Or about
I'm sad that this wasn't more of a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, that's really what I wanted.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Yep.
You know, not everything can be the train wreck you want it to be.
No.
You know, and for the people who are loving, who are on, you know, Bubsy loving, you know, good for you guys.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy you're happy.
Yeah. Good for you. Not for me.
Right.
It's bad for me.
it's like the opposite of vitamins for me.
Yeah. Yep. Reverse. Kills me. if you like the show, what can people do, Cole?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There they can get bonus episodes of the show or even dictate the topic of an episode. That didn't happen this episode, but it happens a couple times a month.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things you can get there on our Patreon is you can get access to our Slack. One nice reason to gain access to our Slack is that the Abject Suffering channel is now currently the Abject Suffering and Tiny Fuppets channel.
Mm-hmm.
So it is time for Fuppets.
Yes.
Your amigos and mine. The tiny puppets.
May Tom be in. Yeah.
Gonzor, you are so fair. But eventually the time for tiny puppets will go away.
We're coming up on a week of Garfield again, aren't we?
We had a week of Garfield earlier in the year.
Oh shit. So we're coming up on the Heathcliff week then.
I had to see if I managed to put that down on my calendar if I forgot.
Oh, geez.
But Heathcliff week might come up. Heathcliff week, I felt like was later in the year as well. I think that it feels like there's tons of time between them. Mm-hmm. So far, we've had Garfield week, a week of Garfield that comes up about once a year.
Yeah,
we have had Elf week, Heathcliff week, and Carnarvon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we. And then now Tiny Fuppets week.
Yes.
Even though Tiny Fuppets, I haven't limited it to a week.
No.
Because I went and made emojis, and I want my work to be recognized.
What I want is for an ersatz meme culture to form around those, and they get uses that are they basically become like Twitch emotes, and like, oh, like somebody posted gumboing, I know exactly what that means.
Yeah, it's just like the Kappa.
Yes,
you know, just constant Kermit.
Kormit.
Oi, stretch. Help. Lisa. I love the Tiny Fuppets, and I love our patrons at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. The other thing you can do is rate and review the show. Throw us a couple stars.
Yeah, give us a couple of stars. Or five if you want.
Stars. We'd appreciate that. And until next time. You know, I guess watch out for the memes, you know, the real media that your memeing bullshit will create.
Yeah.
You know? Like you get high school kids talking about how much they love Ugandan Knuckles because you know, because of this thing that was created.
Yeah. Just be careful.
Yeah. Be careful with your semiotics, please.